America's Pacific Century. That was the headline written by Hillary Clinton back in 2011 for an article used to tout the Obama administration's new policy of rebalancing, or pivoting, as she put it, towards the Asia-Pacific. This is how the current U.S. Commerce Secretary Penny Pritzker describes the strategy.
In the first decade of this century, as we fought two costly wars, our diplomatic, economic, and strategic resources were overinvested in certain regions of the world and underinvested in others. During the early days of this administration, President Obama made a deliberate and strategic decision to correct this imbalance and to deepen U.S. engagement with the world's fastest growing region, the Asia-Pacific.
But these days, it seems to be the feeling among many Asian leaders that you're more likely to hear the camera shutters clicking at the current Secretary of State in Europe, as on Thursday, sorting out the Ukraine crisis, or shuttling back and forth between the Israelis and Palestinians, than you are to see him concentrating on events in Asia. That, they say, tells the real story about US foreign policy priorities. And, of course, politics at home hasn't helped. The US government shutdown meant Mr. Obama had to cancel a long-planned trip to Asia last autumn, leading some in the region to question the whole idea of the rebalance. Here's Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at Washington's Brookings Institution.
It sort of fell apart, or at least floundered, as most of the major people behind it left the administration, and Obama himself had to cope with sequestration, meaning big defense budget cuts, and then, of course, the shutdown, which led to his cancellation of his trip last fall to Asia. And you put it all together, and the oomph sort of went out of the rebalance.
The United States.
There you go. That's me. Today I say to you, and I say to everybody, that the United States of America is with you.
That was the president speaking in Burma on his last Asia trip back in 2012. This time round, he'll be focusing more on his host's concerns about a rising China, especially in Tokyo and Seoul. He'll be reassuring them that the Pentagon will have 60% of its naval and air force assets in the region by 2020. But he'll also have to tread carefully in order to avoid a flare-up in relations with Beijing, which is convinced the Asia pivot is about containing its influence. Michael O'Hanlon says this means a change of language.
Pivot implies that you're turning away from traditional allies. It implies that you're getting in China's face more than we necessarily want the Chinese to feel. The term pivot's not a good one. But it is possible, if you think of this as a rebalancing, as a new equilibrium in which our focus on East Asia is again comparable to our focus on the broader Middle East and now to Europe and Crimea and Ukraine as well. And that should be feasible.
Feasible and necessary. The Obama administration sees the region as an important area of economic growth and hopes the trip will give added impetus to the ongoing negotiations about a Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Here's Penny Pritzker, the Commerce Secretary, again.
We absolutely will continue to forge more of our resources in a region that includes nearly 60% of global GDP, the world's fastest growing economies, half of the world's population, and an emerging middle class hungry for American products and services.
And meanwhile, it's not just Mr. Obama whose reputation is at stake. As Hillary Clinton mulls a presidential run in 2016, her supporters have cited the Asia strategy as one of her biggest achievements as Secretary of State. America's long-term foreign policy strategy may hinge on the success of rebalancing to Asia, but so too, in part, may Ms. Clinton's presidential ambitions. Lorna Shaddick, Washington.